Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Welcome, and thanks so much for tuning in. If you had opportunity to join me a couple of weeks ago, then you're aware that my very special guest on the program was Mary Lee Schreider, who happens to be the executive director of Right to Life Kern County. As a result of our conversation and discussion, something very particular service. So Mary Lee is once again back with me in the studio to continue our talk. Mary Lee, good to have you back.
Great to be back, Philip. Thank you so much.
There is absolutely no doubt, no question, that considerable and rapid changes in societal values have swept into, through, and sometimes even over the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remain convinced that we should not only identify, but also speak to and about the political, economic, and theological currents doing their utmost to submerge the church today.
Mm-hmm.
For me, biblical standards and being a relevant cultural witness just go hand in hand. I see them really as partners. Hence, the very specific ministries of Right to Life Kern County and His Way Out Ministries. Would you once again share the goal and mission of Right to Life?
Absolutely. Happy to do so. We have worked together. Our offices were together until recently, and we do know that absolutely there's so many similarities. But our role, Right to Life Kern County, is to advocate for the sanctity of life from conception through natural death. That is it in a nutshell. And we do that by, we are a faith-based organization, so our training is part biblical study on what God has to say about life and part advocacy training. And then we take these new trainees out to the campus, the college campuses, Bakersfield College and CSUB, and we challenge students there to question what they believe about abortion. And we use persuasive dialogue, we find common ground, and we use philosophical and biological and faith arguments to challenge these students, and we have some extremely in-depth meaty dialogue. It's very meaningful, and really it's the best thing that we do. And we also do some political advocacy. We go up to Sacramento often. And on any given year, as I'm sure you know, Sacramento, which is our capital, which is just very zealously pro-choice. They're always introducing pro-choice bills, and we go up and battle against those when we have that opportunity. So we're very busy defending life here in Kern County.
And I'm sure just like at His Way Out Ministries, given your very specialized focus in ministry, you frequently meet challenge?
No. it's just happy camping all the way. No, we do sometimes even within our own movement. I wish we could say we're all one big happy family, but the challenges come from within and without. And so, yes, we do. We do have certain challenges that we have to face.
Well, thank you so much for what you have done and continue to do, because it is so badly needed. And for all of our listeners, if you have not had opportunity to visit the Right to Life Kern County website, please do so, because you'll find a wealth of information there to help you on this very, very critical topic of our day.
And that's rtlkc.org. Thank you for that. Yeah, plug.
2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? Let me ask you a question, Mary Lee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has God saved us to be silent?
Well, you and I both know He has not. And we talk about this all the time in our little when we get together and just vent in our vent time? Well, of course not. Of course not. And you know,
I call it debriefing one another.
Oh, debriefing. Okay. Debriefing. Okay. Well, did God save us to be silent? You know, I knew you were going to ask that question. So I turned to our friend Charles Spurgeon, and he said, there is no other reason why God should save a man but for his name's sake. And there is nothing in a sinner that can entitle him to salvation or recommend him to mercy. It must be God's own heart that dictates the motive why men are saved. So what does that mean? He saved them first that we might manifest his nature. God is love, and he wants us to manifest that. And he showed it when he made the sun, the moon, and the stars, and scattered flowers over the green and laughing earth. That's Spurgeon. But he wanted to reveal himself more. And so that's how he uses his people, his followers. He did not save us so we could just sit back on our laurels and enjoy the benefits of being a Christ follower. He saved us so we could reveal more of him to the world.
Let me ask you, because I know in our area of ministry, again, homosexuality and the many related issues.
Yes.
And I am pretty confident it's the same in your area of ministry regarding abortion, mm-hmm. that there are those even within the church today that have, for lack of a better expression, taken a vow of silence on these subject matters.
Right.
I don't get it.
I don't either, especially when, and I have had church leadership, I won't mention names, in Bakersfield who have said, I have women who have had abortions in my church. I am not going to hurt them by talking about it. And I said, if you have hurting women in your church, they're there, and not talking about it isn't going to make that go away. But they need to know where they can find their grace and mercy and forgiveness. And that's at the foot of the cross. And they look to church leadership and to scripture to find that.
Yes, yes.
So remaining silent is just not encouraging, but prolonging, I think, some of that pain.
And I would submit, too, and I've shared this principle for many, many years now, I really believe on the subject matters we're turning our attention to, and certainly there are others, silence implies consent.
That's right.
That's dangerous.
And also we have talked about that silence implies surrender. Same kind of thing, but in this passive way, okay, go ahead, it's going to happen, you know.
I've had too many conversations, primarily with young men in their early 20s, struggling with same-sex attraction, some unwanted same-sex attraction. Some are okay with being gay identified.
Right.
And when I ask about what they're hearing on the subject matter, more than not, their reply is, well, my church is okay with my being gay. And I take it a step further and say, how do you know that? And the reply is always the same, because nothing is ever said about it.
Oh, goodness. And for women who have had abortions, that silence could indicate judgment or rejection, because their experience is not being addressed. As I think I've shared with you, I have sat in a conversation with women and been talking about the work that we do and how fulfilling it is. And I'll look across and her eyes are filled with tears. And she'll tell me, I had an abortion 30 years ago, and still, it's something that she cannot talk about, that she is struggling to forgive herself for. That should not be happening in the Christian church. I'm not saying that we make light of it or reduce the sexual sin to, you know, just nothing. But my goodness, how long must women suffer and pay for that sin when they have been forgiven?
And, you know, there is so much to be said for a church providing a safe environment and the opportunity for men and women to come in with whatever form of brokenness or whatever may have transpired in their life that they are still struggling with, they're still hurting, to come into that safe environment and have what, lack of a better expression, a dump session. Let them get it out.
Right.
That's very, very healing. Doesn't mean that we have to have a reply. We have to, you know, dig deep and start getting into all kinds of aspects of counseling. Just give them the opportunity to get it out.
Well, and I think in some, there are ministries like that. For instance, I go back to Reflections Ministry, which is a ministry for post-abortive women. It's very, very private. They don't even tell you where they're meeting until you sign up for the class. And it is a place for women to do exactly that, and then they go through scripture and a very specific Bible study, and they're set free. many of them are. And I know that that particular ministry is offered in a number of churches in Bakersfield. And also at River Lakes Community Church, they have a People Encouraging People, which is a lay counseling program, which is, and they it's really large. It's very intensive. I think it's a couple years of training. So they're very intentional about that, and they offer that for their people. So some churches are trying, are addressing those problems. I mean, we don't expect the pastor to set aside his primary teaching of Jesus Christ and salvation message. But, you know, there are other people in the church who can take these on and address these issues too.
I've had the opportunity to teach two or three times for River Lakes in terms of this particular group that you're citing.
Yes.
And again, I've seen over these many, many years of His Way, out of the past 26 years, there is still so much to be said for someone who is willing to listen.
Yes.
And never, ever, ever, ever underestimate the power of prayer.
Right.
And I know today in our area of ministry, people will mock God and say, oh, pray the gay away. It's like, hold it, just a moment. First of all, I would caution you, don't mock God and don't mock the power of prayer.
Oh, right.
Because prayer is our foundation for success in the life of a church, an individual, any ministry. If it's not birthed in prayer and continually bathed in prayer, it's not going to fly.
And that is your ministry. You do no therapy, no other therapy of any kind. It's
Our ministry of His Way Out Ministries, everything we do is biblically based.
Right.
We take our mandate and calling from Jesus Himself when He said, go make disciples.
Right.
We have never used, nor will we ever use, the clinical approach of conversion or reparative therapy. That is not biblically based.
No.
Jesus in the New Testament upheld the standards of God's law. He said that not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. That's according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Question. Grace and truth were never, ever meant to be separated. However, they are often separated today. And to me, the obvious question is, why? Jesus, our perfect role model, every time that He approached, challenged, or confronted, which He did.
Yes.
Many individuals, every time He challenged someone or confronted, He always did so with an equal balance of both truth and grace. He's our perfect role model. That's how we should approach people. But today, truth and grace are often being separated. I'd like to get your reply on that as to possibly why.
Well, I think it's kind of obvious. I think there's no absolute truth anymore.
Mm.
Truth is arbitrary. It is more opinion. And I think people are now cowed by the PC culture. So I think all of that combines together to separate the two. And I think, and of course, we are a post-Christian nation. So your truth, God's truth, may not be my truth. And so, I mean, I'm talking about in the general culture. So I think that is the obvious answer, and that is the fight that we are up against every day, whether it be abortion or same-sex attraction or anything else that we've talked about.
We have a crisis of truth.
We have a crisis of truth.
We have a crisis of the Lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture.
Right. Absolutely.
And really, in so many respects, really, that is the crisis, the authority of Scripture for the church today.
And I think that is the question. How do we approach these issues knowing that we have a crisis of faith in Scripture in America right now?
Mm.
It really takes some, like you said, discipleship.
Yes.
And some boldness, I think.
There is no doubt that we are living in an age of reckless sexuality. Sex before marriage, adultery, homosexual practice, addiction to pornography. Today, there does not seem to be any right or wrong. If there is something wrong in terms of a particular behavior, my question is, okay, what is that? Which brings me to, again, why we're also doing another program here.
Right.
Because the result of the programs we did a couple of weeks ago, I heard from several men, Christian men, because we expressed that we believe the church is the last bastion of hope for those struggling, the wounded, hurting, and broken.
Right.
And I heard from an abundance of men, Christian men, exclaiming their addiction to pornography and their dismay and their disappointment in going to a variety of churches looking for help with regard to their specific area of brokenness and couldn't find the love, encouragement, and support, the ministry that they needed to overcome pornography.
And they wanted to overcome it. This is not something they're embracing, right? They wanted help overcoming it.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's largely why, again, we came back together to discuss this, because I didn't see that coming.
Right, neither did I. I went, all of what we talked about, and these, the only feedback you got was that from more than one individual, several individuals, right?
Yes. And I would, before I possibly forget to share this, I want to recommend a book, which actually was written by a dear friend of mine, mm-hmm. and a ministry colleague whose name is Joe Dallas. He has penned a wonderful book titled The Game Plan, and it's a book which offers a 30-day strategy for attaining sexual integrity. And he very specifically goes into the addiction of pornography. So once again, help is available. There are tremendous resources out there. And many of these resources, including Joe's book, is all biblically based.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always point everyone, of course, to our perfect role model again, Jesus Christ.
Right.
At the core of all forms of brokenness, we're talking about a spiritual problem,
yes.
which requires a spiritual solution. His name has been, is now, and shall forever be Jesus.
Amen.
A personal concern I have is that I believe that far too many today are being caught in the wash. Mm-hmm. The battle over homosexuality in the church has really been raging for decades. Still, too often, teachings about sexual addiction among heterosexual men and women are completely avoided. Youth in particular are frequently asking, there are so many mixed messages today on sexuality, where do I find truth? All of this and more going on while many members of our churches and all denominations are again suffering in silence and sometimes even sinking. Again, God has a lot to say in His Word about human sexuality. Seems to me, again, if God can talk about sex, then we can also. Amen?
Amen.
When it comes to the topic of homosexuality, churches really are all over the place in terms of their view and stance. We've got gay-affirming churches, we have fearful churches, mm-hmm. we have gay-bashing churches, complacent churches, and churches, thankfully, gratefully, that are still sold out to doing it Christ's way. Churches who follow in the steps of Christ Jesus by bringing truth and grace together without compromise by offering healing ministries for the sexually and relationally broken. Maybe, just maybe, what we need to examine is our passions.
Oh, darn.
Are we seeing people or are we just seeing issues? My concern
right.
is when all we see is issues, people fall through the cracks.
That's right. That's right. Oh, and haven't we been seeing that of late? It's like even people who are marginally disagreeing, just as a little aside, with the hostility and everything running amok right now in the wake of what's happened in the Capitol. Have you noticed that even friendships are starting to dissolve?
And you know, really, I mean, I don't know where we get that Christians can't get angry. I mean, the Bible says, be angry and sin not.
Right.
Where we get in trouble is we misdirect our anger.
Right. Right.
But we should get upset. We should get angry in terms of what the devil has done and is doing mm-hmm. and take a righteous stand. Now, what we say, again, very important, equally important, how it is said.
You say that all the time. That's right.
That's a point that I always emphasize because I really believe in terms of how it is said can largely determine on how it's going to be received.
Well, and as we've talked about before, if you have never been confronted with the same-sex attraction question in your family, and you may not know how to respond, and if you don't know how to respond, you often don't respond at all or very badly.
Yes.
So that's why your ministry is so essential.
I would submit that if we're bashing homosexuals or those that have had an abortion, can we truly say we love them as Jesus does?
Well, of course not, no. And you and I have both, we pointed that out last time as well. For too many women have heard that their abortion is the unforgivable sin. And you have pointed out that too many homosexual men and women have been told that God has a special disdain for the sin of homosexuality. No, we don't think so. I don't think so. No.
The sin of homosexual practice all too often is elevated to a place, a position that God has not.
Right.
I mean, again, I cite the scriptural passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, where we find a catalog of various behaviors
right.
that God says very clearly, don't go there.
Don't
practice any of these. Now, in that list, which is lengthy, homosexuality is mentioned, but it's mentioned in the middle of the list. That's significant, telling us what? In God's eyes, it's just another sin. We need to keep it in its proper context. But keep reading that passage, and we find in verse 11 some of the sweetest words contained in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Verse 11 says, and this is what some of you were.
Right.
Past tense. We have sound biblical evidence that even in the days before the Bible was actually in print, men and women were struggling with same-sex attraction, homosexuality, and lesbianism. But they saw it resolved in their lives. How did that happen? It happened then the same way it's happening today. Keep reading.
Yes.
Through a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. When God says with him, all things are possible, that includes freedom from homosexuality.
Well, and also, when you look at that verse that you just read, the laundry list of things that cited there, what's first on the list? The sexually immoral. So for those of everybody who experiences their sexual sin, don't get too full of yourself. And don't read too far down the list.
And let's be clear, too, in terms of faithful followers of Christ Jesus,
yes.
In terms of sexual expression,
yes.
We got one of two options. Number one is a man and a woman, the two becoming one, remaining faithful to one another as a marriage vow state till death do we part, doing their utmost to adhere to their vows, remaining faithful to one another. That's option one. Option two revolves around a question. Here it comes. Buckle your spiritual seatbelt. Are you single? If the answer is yes, you're not to be sexually active, period. Now go around the world and preach and teach that little number.
Oh, that new, that right there is news to a lot of people, believers or not.
And often the reply is, get real, Philip.
Yep.
Nonetheless, that is God's standard. It always has been, it is now, and will ever be, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
If we affirm abortion or the practice of homosexuality, can we truly say we are speaking the truth according to God's word?
Well, no, we can't. But that doesn't stop a lot of people from misrepresenting the scripture on this today. And we see it, and that's as prevalent as the sin itself.
Let me ask you, because I know in our focus of ministry, today we have an abundance of pro-gay theologians, pro-gay apologists, and revisionists of scripture.
Yes.
And they take a lot of liberty. They take a quantum leap in trying to validate homosexual practice, often speculating on what scripture does not say, trying to validate homosexuality. Do you find those same kinds of attempts in your area?
Absolutely same, because they're in the... In many of our discussions, the argument is, well, you know, God told us to look after the vulnerable and the orphans and the widows and all the vulnerable people. Well, that's what we're doing with abortion, because we don't want women to suffer. We don't want them babies to be born into a situation where they could go into foster care. We don't want women. So we're taking care of women and children. And even I've even heard one particular very well-known, nationally known abortionist say, I am doing God's work by doing abortions. It's absolutely stunning that they can twist that around that way. But it happens. Yes, we see a lot of it.
Tweak and twist the scriptures. You can make them say just about anything you
want. Yes, you can. But then you look at what God says throughout the scripture about life, about those he created. And you know, if you know the nature of God, you have to believe that he wants every baby he creates.
Yes, because all life
is sacred
and should be celebrated.
That's right.
The sanctity of life. Again, those words just grip me every time I hear them. Historically speaking, America has recognized that truth can be found in the Bible. As a result, all aspects of culture were significantly influenced by the church and its teachings. And I would submit that when we, the church, when we hold to the truth and the authority of Scripture, we influence culture. And there was a time when the church set societal standards.
Yes, there was.
But I would submit where we've arrived today, not only on the subject matter of abortion and same-sex attraction and the many related issues and topics, I don't know that we're setting standards anymore, and I'm so concerned.
Oh, it's terribly concerning, and there's no doubt we are a post-Christian nation. And it was a couple years ago, I was in London, in England, and I was on the Oxford campus of Oxford University, and the docent who was taking us on a tour said, well, we're very matter-of-factly, we're a post-Christian nation now. We're standing outside a chapel. We are a post-Christian nation now, and that can be seen, the influence of that can be seen in our churches and chapels and what they teach. And she was so matter-of-fact about it. And I was just shocked. But we're seeing that here in America, too. We're always behind the Brits a little bit in that department. But we're seeing that now more and more. And it's tragic.
And let me offer, too, to all of our listeners today, even though we are primarily focusing on abortion and homosexuality, consider in your own life, if truth, God's absolute truth, had been withheld from you, what would you have been left with? If God's truth had been withheld from me, I would not be sitting here right now having this discussion. I'm confident of that. We are under command and calling to share God's truth, how people receive it, what they do with it, we cannot control. But we have a command and calling to share His truth. And I would submit that if we would do that more so than really what's going on today in public arenas, I'm one of those Christians that believe we are to be involved in world systems.
Yes.
Let's take the truth. Take the truth around the world and then let God be God. The Holy Spirit's alive and well. I don't want His job.
No, I don't either.
Mary Lee, we are almost out of time. And before we do close, I would like to invite you, please, if you would, please pray.
I will pray, and I will pray for His Way Out Ministries. And
bless you. Thank you.
We just wish you all the best, all the blessings. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've been given to speak with pro-life friends and your followers. And we thank you for the freedom not only to speak about these sometimes controversial issues, but to point to you as the answer to all of these issues, these controversies, the rock on which we stand. We ask you, Father, to keep your good hand on His Way Out Ministries and the good work that they do. We ask you to open new doors and directions for this ministry as it seeks to be a spiritual resource for the hurting and the lost. We ask, Father, that you protect Pastor Philip Lee's health and keep him safe as he responds to the controversies that will continue to come his way. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for loving us, and we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Again, many thanks for tuning in. Please tune in again next week, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.